Well, let's turn to God's word, and we are going to read once again from the book of Nehemiah. And reading Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 18 today. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. Love that sound of rustling Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word again today and for the words you've given me to share. Lord, give us ears to hear what you have to say to us, and help us to apply this word into our lives today so that we will live for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we pick up from last week's reading and the prayer of Nehemiah, which we've returned to in our service today and taken from Nehemiah chapter 1. His honest conversation with King Artaxerxes in chapter 2, which both concerned Nehemiah's heart for the city of Jerusalem and his desire for the walls and the gates to be rebuilt. As we discovered, the king showed Nehemiah great favor and granted his requests. But as we read in chapter 2, verse 8, the gracious hand of my God was on Nehemiah. The king might have granted Nehemiah's request, but Nehemiah knew who was responsible for this favor. It was the blessing and the gracious hand of God. God faithfully answered Nehemiah's prayer. So we read towards the end of chapter 2 about the arrival of Nehemiah into Jerusalem. His inspection or examination of the various walls and gates that were destroyed by fire, before calling upon the people of God to start rebuilding. I have to say, this passage, as I read the passage during the week, stoked up two personal memories for me. The first was being in Jerusalem myself in 2019 and walking through at least one of the city gates, but also praying for the walls and the gates of Canterbury in 2018. A prayer warrior in the city called Lyndall Bywater, some of you might know her, produced in 2018 an excellent prayer card which linked the different segments of our community with the city walls and gates. We have the card for you to see on PowerPoint here. She invited our prayer for the North Gate concerning our families, communities, and connection, for the Quenin Gate, praying for education and creativity, for the Burgate, that we might pray for tourism, entertainment, and fun. St. George's Gate, that we might pray for health services, social care, and compassion in the city. The Riding Gate, that we might pray for transport, emergency services, and security. The Worth Gate, that we might pray for business, commerce, innovation, and integrity. And then finally, the West Gate, that we might pray for local government, for law and justice in the city of Canterbury. And she offered this prayer guide with a written prayer for the city, which says the following: Almighty God, our Father, we thank you for welcoming us into your family. As we come to you today, we ask you to teach us how to pray for Canterbury. May our communities be places where people always feel at home. May our streets be blessed with the peace of Jesus, peace beyond our understanding. May the warmth of your love reach those who feel they're on the fringes of society. Transform our city, touch her cold stones, and bring her heart to life again. Show us how to help her be all that you made her to be. And as we live our lives in this beautiful place, may your light glow within us and your glory radiate from us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's a beautiful prayer. A beautiful prayer for the city where this church at least situates. And it's a helpful resource too. And if you'd like a copy of it, I have one or two spares, so you can come and see me after the service today. Perhaps with Nehemiah, it helps us to remember the concern that we should hold for God's holy city. And I want to pose two questions to you today. And the first asks this: do we care for the city? Because we see in the example of Nehemiah and in the account of Nehemiah 1 and chapter 2, someone who cared deeply and passionately for the city of God in Jerusalem. As he heard about the trouble faced by returning exiles, the broken walls and the burned gates with fire, what did he do? He wept. He mourned. He fasted. And he prayed before the God of heaven in Nehemiah chapter 1. But he also made honest requests before King Artaxerxes. In the opening chapters of chapter 1, verses 3 and 5, we read, "Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah, where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it." I love that opening question. Why should my face not look sad? He cared passionately and deeply for the city of Jerusalem. Even in the later verses of this same chapter, chapter 2, the ones we've read today, Nehemiah shows deep care for the city as he examined Jerusalem at night. He investigated the damage that had been done. I love that word, examined the city walls and gates, and he did so at night. We do well to remember this is a city Nehemiah had never laid his eyes upon before. And yet, he cared this much about the holy city of Jerusalem, that he would mourn and weep and fast and pray and make requests before the king and examine and inspect the city walls in the night. Now, one regret that I have moving away from Canterbury in the near future is that I have not spent as much time in the city as I would have liked to. Because every time I spend time in the city of Canterbury, God stirs my heart for this place and stirs my heart for the people of Canterbury that I have seen. There was one occasion when I was eating lunch with another minister in the city here, and I ate lunch with him outside a cafe on the high street of Canterbury, and as we spoke, God spoke to me deeply about the people I could see milling around on the high street. And as I saw these people, I just felt the need for us to witness to Jesus. I could see the need for Jesus in the city of Canterbury and in the people my eyes laid upon. On another occasion, when preaching at St. Andrew's URC Church on a Sunday morning, I was preaching from the Word of God, and I remember my eyes, and I must admit my mind, being taken out of the doors of the church. Who says men can't multitask? Somehow I preached and I was able to do this at the same time. My eyes were taken through the glass doors of the back of the church onto the streets of Canterbury. And to those who were not sat in the church at the time, although I have to confess there weren't that many anyway, but my eyes were laid upon those who were not in church, those who were not part of the family of God yet, those who needed Jesus. And I remember even leaving the church that Sunday and walking past people in the hustle and bustle of the city centre on a Sunday. Long gone are those days when there was no trading on a Sunday. Do you remember those? The hustle and bustle, and I just sensed God's heart for these people. These people who need Jesus. And actually, it was that experience that led to the start of our evangelism ministry here called Sent. That experience was part of our story. Do we care for the holy city of Canterbury? Because whilst Jerusalem is the city of focus here in Nehemiah chapter 2, whilst Jerusalem, for me anyway, certainly holds a dear place in the heart of God, Canterbury is a holy city of God. It belongs to him. It is his. He cares for the city of Canterbury. So do we care for the holy city of Canterbury? And I believe this can also be transferable to the places where we live and work. And maybe you're not from Canterbury, you're just visiting today. Do we care for the villages and the towns and the cities where we are from? Because God cares for them. Do we mourn and weep over these places as Nehemiah did? Do we pray for them as Nehemiah did? Do we request favor from God and from those even in positions of authority in the villages, towns, and cities where we work and live for the purposes and the glory of God as Nehemiah did? Do we inspect the walls and the gates? Do we look to see where the cracks are, where the need is? Do we inspect the cities, the towns, and the villages to see how these places need the kingdom of God and the person of Jesus? Because these places matter to God, as Jerusalem mattered to Jesus. You remember that moment when Jesus triumphantly came into the city of Jerusalem. Take a look later at Luke chapter 19. And of course, there was great celebration. The shouts of Hosanna were ringing out. But what happened to Jesus? There's a humble moment where Jesus weeps. And he weeps for the city of Jerusalem. Do we share in the same care of our villages, towns, and cities as Nehemiah did, as Jesus did for Jerusalem? Secondly, I ask today, can we work together for for the city's rebuilding. I find it intriguing that as we read in chapter 2, verse 16, Nehemiah had not told the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work that they would indeed be doing the work. Why did he not tell them? Well, Bible commentators suggest it may have been to hide his plans from enemies, those who sought to frustrate the plans. Perhaps the people of God would have gossiped and news would have got out. That would never happen at Canterbury Baptist Church, would it? But also, Nehemiah may have wanted to make this announcement, the timing of his announcement, correct. Good sound. Because the workers were exhausted. They'd been working to rebuild the city walls and gates for quite some time. Perhaps they were disillusioned by their attempts to rebuild the city. We heard about that when we looked at Ezra earlier on in the series. And so perhaps Nehemiah just wanted to get his timing right with the people of God. Eventually, however, Nehemiah called the people to work. With a rallying cry, we read in chapter, I've got chapter 2, verse 2 here, but that's absolutely wrong. You can find the right verse. I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Also, Nehemiah, as we read in that chapter, tells them about the gracious hand of God. The gracious hand of God as he spoke to King Artaxerxes and received the resources that he needed to get the gates, walls, doors, beams, bolts and bars repaired. Now, Nehemiah chapter 3, again, if you want to read another part of God's word later on today, Luke chapter 19, Nehemiah chapter 3. It's a fascinating list of all the different people involved in the rebuilding process. This list includes high priests, priests, goldsmiths, perfume makers, rulers, countrymen, temple servants, merchants, as well as various sons and daughters, all sorts of different people. This was an almighty collaboration of God's people for the purposes and the glory of God in Jerusalem. And do you know what strikes me about this list? Well, there was no questionnaire. There was no survey to discern the skills and the gifts of the people, or to efficiently put them in the right place for service. No, they just picked up tools and they got on with the work. They just mucked in and rebuilt, got to work on rebuilding the walls and the gates. Even the perfume makers were there rebuilding. Even the high priests, those of status and authority, picked up tools, mucked in, and contributed towards the rebuilding of the walls and the gates. Nehemiah describes this in verse 18 as the good work. They picked up tools and they contributed to the good work that God had called them to. It reminds me of the church, as described by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2. The words should be available for you to read on the screen here. As you come to him, that's Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Folks, I want to make this appeal to you today. Whichever church you would consider home, don't just wait for the perfect opportunity to serve. Or wait for some clever marketing plan to be thrown at you to finally contribute something. Get involved. Pick up tools and muck in. Pick up tools and contribute to the building of God's church and God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. Don't wait for someone to ask you. Don't wait for the perfect survey to be released. Don't wait for the perfect marketing ploy. Just contribute. If you see some weeding that needs doing, don't wait for a gardener to turn up. Just pull the weeds out. If you see some chairs that need moving, don't wait for the caretaker. We don't have one. Just move the chairs. If you see someone entering the church who's new, don't wait for the welcome team to click into gear. Just welcome them. Let's pick up tools and just muck in. Let's just contribute to the work, the good work that God has called every one of his people to contribute towards. The list of builders in Nehemiah 3 is not perfect. You wouldn't have spotted it yet because we didn't read it. But in fact, there were some who, as one Bible scholar puts it, shirked their responsibility. You can find some, the nobles of Tekoa, in verse 5, Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5. Please don't be one of those people who shirk the responsibility. But instead, pick up tools and contribute to the building of God's church, the building of God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. The New Testament imagery concerning the church, like the one we read in 1 Peter 2, emphasizes interdependence as a vital ingredient in our corporate life. We are limbs in a body that function on the basis of interrelated cooperation. We're not isolated units, but mutually dependent members joined together as living stones in a temple, which is being built for the glory of God. We need one another for the work of Christ to be done. And so, as lovingly as I can put it this morning, please don't shirk your responsibility, but pick up tools, muck in, contribute for this call to regroup and rebuild. I love that particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read about one body, many parts. The church is described as being like the body of Christ. And for us to function as a body, for the church to function as a body, every part must be at play. If any one part of our body doesn't function properly, then that causes the rest of the body not to function healthily. So we need all of the parts of the body to be at play. Can I invite you gently this morning to play your part? So I want to invite us to consider these two questions today. Learning from the example of Nehemiah and the Word of God here, do we care for the holy city of God? Whether that be Canterbury or another city, town, or village where you live and work, can we work together for the city's rebuilding? And are you willing to play your part? Again, whichever church you would consider to be home, your spiritual home, are you willing to play your part? Are you willing to pick up tools and contribute to the building of God's kingdom and God's church? I want to invite your commitment today by simply standing and reciting that prayer that I've already read to you once today. And as you do that, it is a sign of commitment. Not particularly to me, but a sign of commitment to God. That you do care for His holy cities. And that you are willing to contribute to the building of His kingdom on earth as in heaven. Now I realize we can all see each other, but I want this to have integrity. And so if you don't feel able to commit yourself today, that's okay. But I want to invite those who feel able to commit themselves to caring for the city and to contributing to the building of God's kingdom and God's church, to stand and to recite this prayer with me. So just take a moment to consider those questions. How is God inviting us to respond today? And if you want to, or you feel able to, just stand where you are. I will recite this prayer together as God's people. If you want to commit yourself to another city other than Canterbury, just simply replace Canterbury with the name of the place that you are committing yourself to caring for today. And so let's pray. Almighty God, our Father, we thank you for welcoming us into your family. As we come to you today, we ask you to teach us how to pray for Canterbury. May our communities be places where people always feel at home. May our streets be blessed with the peace of Jesus, peace beyond our understanding. May the warmth of your love reach those who feel they're on the fringes of society. Transform our city, touch her cold stones, and bring her heart to life again. Show us how to help her be all that you made her to be. And as we live our lives in this beautiful place, may your light glow within us and your glory radiate from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for the commitment we have made today. And we pray, Holy Spirit, would you enable us to keep this promise? Lord, for those of us unable to stand at this moment in time, we pray, would you continue to do a work in our lives? Lord, help us as we read your word, to understand your word, and to hear your voice speaking to us today. Help us to care and to love the city. Help us to serve for the sake of your glory and your kingdom, we pray. And Lord, if you are inviting us to do certain things today to serve you, we pray for the confidence to say, here I am, send me. Use us for your glory, Lord, particularly in this moment of history where we are regrouping and rebuilding following such a difficult season. We pray, Holy Spirit, equip us and strengthen us to serve the living God in this generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.